feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs. Up to camp with Stephen King. River curses, Wesley sings. Homegrown horror.
Hello. My voice cracked.
Jackson hit puberty.
My balls have finally dropped. And welcome to Homegrown Horror.
The bonus
episode. We watched Cryptid.
I made a choice.
You made a choice. And we're suffering for it.
Because this one, so I have oft Googled horror movies that take place in Maine, and this one was new. This was a new edition.
This is a 2022 edition.
You know what else was funny? This most recent time when I looked up horror movies that take place in Maine, you know what else was there?
What?
Carousel.
Wow. What? Really?
Wait a minute. One of these things, not like the other.
Don't track. I swear to God, the more like AI is getting involved with like Google search engines and just everyday life, the more it's just straight up lying to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I tried to chat GPT us just to get like synopsis. Well, first off, didn't know who we were when I just said Homegrown Horror. But then I said, Homegrown Horror, the podcast. And they said, yes, Homegrown Horror. And they like got our names right and then talked a little bit about our show. They got the like.
I don't like that.
They got the little bit of the, they talk about true crime horror and like have a comedic aspect to it. And then they said, they're very popular on Facebook. And I'm like, we don't have Facebook. So it's really funny. It's like, it was like, okay, yeah, 60% of the things you've told me are accurate. And then you just straight up lie.
There's not a Wikipedia page for this movie. So the movie that I chose is the 2022 movie Cryptid.
Cryptid.
So yeah, there is not a Wikipedia page. So IMDb is our friend today.
IMDb, our long lost friend.
There's no
there
synopsis,
for us when everything
so
else fails.
It.
Oh my God.
We
normally have like a synopsis of the plot, yeah, but that's fine. This movie's gonna stand out a bit. There are some parts. I watched this last night. You watched this morning. I watched this last night. I almost fell asleep twice.
Was going to also say, this is the most boring movie I think we've watched on this podcast.
This honestly is kind of boring.
It's
way too long. It could have been summarized in...
It's almost 2 fucking hours long.
It's almost 2 hours. It really doesn't need to be that. There was a lot of stuff that was just kind of like, this is sort of trying to be interesting, but it really isn't coming that way. And I mean, I got to say... I feel for everybody that went through this movie. I don't think anybody did necessarily a bad job, but I think there was a lot of interesting choices that took place that came together and then just kind of didn't really work. Mm-hmm. I think that I think the second half of this movie is much stronger than the first half. But yeah. But that's kind of like...
But there's a lot
of stuff in the second half I didn't like.
But the thing is, like, by the time the second half hits, I was just sort of like...
Yeah, just kind of fried. Kind of brain dead. Not really getting into it. I did give this movie, I think, a lot of leeway while I was watching it, even though I almost fell asleep twice.
You know what? So I'm looking, because I'm looking at the director. His name is director and writer. His name is Brad Rego. There was one point in the movie where I'm like, this just gives me Massachusetts vibes everywhere. He is from Massachusetts.
Yep. There we go. Yes. The cadence and the what Max has to say felt like a Massachusetts guy.
The everything is Massachusetts. Because Allegra was like, so which was like... where does Maine come in? I'm like, they're in Maine. They're all from Maine. And she's like, no, they're not.
I felt that vibe. Yeah. No one felt like they were actually from the state.
No.
The way they talked and kind of like, yeah, it's kind of interesting direction. I get it that like most of the movies we say they're based in Maine don't really have that as sort of like the underlying character trait of the people in the movie. But yeah, this one did feel like more dialogue, interestingly enough, like, wasn't very, like, slang ridden, or the accents really weren't there as much.
Yeah, I don't know, like, anybody.
This was a lot of, like, new actors. I mean, this is a new movie. I mean,
there's Nicholas Baruti as Max, Ellen Adair as Harriet, and then Chopper Bennett as Sheriff Charlie Murdoch. And those are really the three main.
Okay, gotta people. Say, Charlie is the best. Charlie had, like, some of the better acting. There are some scenes here where it was just like, okay, there we go. Now apply this to the rest of the movie.
It seems like he was in American Crime Story. But that's really the only thing that I recognize.
Like, I do think Charlie was probably one of the strongest characters. Max, during some of the scenes, was okay.
I also feel like you have to work really hard if you're going to establish your main character
as kind of a shithead.
As a fucking shithead.
Yeah, it was really hard to make him redeemable.
Start off well.
And that's the thing, what I'm saying, is that, like, this is a new director. Does he have any, like, other stuff tied to him?
He does. Lots of shorts.
Uh-huh.
I will also say, I'm looking at Ellen Adair, who plays Harriet. She was in Red Dead.
Oh,
she was just she was a rando in Red Dead.
It was an NPC?
Yeah. Okay. The local pedestrian population.
A bunch of different characters with throwaway lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, though. I think that's neat.
And then I'm going to look and see if Max is actor.
Red Dead 1 or 2?
2.
Oh, the better Red Dead. Honestly, so good. Oh, my gosh.
So he was in. So Max was in 5 episodes of Law & Order. He's been in stuff. I don't recognize anything.
You know what, B?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad about this film. I honestly am not. I really am not here. I think that
it's a good looking film.
Okay. That was something that immediately came to my mind. So we have the opening shot and it's, dark, rainy night. We have a pickup truck that's, like, pulling over to the side of the road because they notice this, like, decaying deer carcass
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the road. They come out, and the camera work is really good, actually. That's something I gotta say. Like, there are some shots that I'm like, what the fuck are they doing here? But there's a lot of good shots here. Like,
yes.
There's the guy comes outside of his truck and he notices this, like, piece of, like, reptile skin hanging off the front of his truck, and he gets down on the ground and he's looking at it from the side, and they have this really interesting camera shot where the light is shining on one side of this guy's face as he's looking at the reptile skin, and I was just like, this is a really good shot. I was like, this is well done. There's a lot of those moments where I'm just kind of like, hey, this is working. And then it's, like, falling apart in the next scene.
I think that, similar to Black Rock, there is a good movie in here.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think.
There is a good movie in here. I think what we got, whoever edited this, the final composition of the film, that is too bloated.
Yes.
They left in way too much.
Yes.
And left out the wrong things.
Yes. Completely agree. Also, there's just some, like, writing in here that is just structurally, like, this isn't what you probably should have done.
There was one time Allegra and I literally looked at each other and repeated the line because she's like, if that blew your dick, wait for this. And I'm
like, whoa.
Have you ever heard someone say, if that blew your dick, wait till you hear what I say next?
So Henrietta, which I really loved her as a
Harriet.
Character. Harriet, God damn it. Henrietta, where'd that come from?
That's a great question.
Oh, I was emailing Henrietta recently.
Anyway, shout out to Henrietta.
She doesn't listen. Nor should she. Not think well of me.
No.
Anyway, so
Harriet.
I was about to say Henrietta again.
Harriet
is probably one of my favorite characters in the movie, aside from Charlie. I think Charlie's my number one.
Charlie's great.
Harriet, I think, is number two, because I think she seems like a person who has some acting chops.
You wanna know who my number one is, though? It's neither of them. It's not Max.
Is it Dutch?
No. It's the girl that works at the convenience store.
She's so fucking funny.
I love her.
Yeah. Oh my god. I mean, if I was like 14 years old and I ran into this woman, I'd be like, I'd be like trying to give her my number. She'd be so, she'd be so cool.
Like, fuck. This is so great.
So funny.
So
there's a lot of weird. Okay, I gotta say, there's a lot of comedic moments that did land in this movie. That was just like, where the fuck did this come from? And it was just like, that was actually kind of funny. And it's like, what's happening the rest of this movie? It's like, so here's my summary. This is my TLDR.
Yeah.
I guess. It's like, yes, I agree. There's a good movie in here. I felt like this is everybody's first project almost.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that come alive. And I kind of almost feel excited to see what else Brad Rego might try to develop after this, because I feel like if he's a good director and he's like, you know, self-critical and all that, I think he's going to come away with like a lot of lessons learned from this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is some cool stuff in here. There are some good scenes. And I feel like for the acting as well, I feel like people should become, I hope they come away with like, because I think Max's acting really fell flat for most of the movie. And then there was a lot of good scenes in the second half that was like, there's a real person here.
The other thing that you didn't notice, that what? I noticed.
What?
Max's actor, his voice sounds just like Tom Hanks.
You mentioned that. I was
and
like,
Allegra
I
was like,
that.
Holy shit. We're sitting there, and like, so every time I'd look away, I'm like, when did Woody get on the screen? Where'd he come from?
I love that. Yeah.
But this guy, so Max as a character, again, I think that you have to do some real heavy lifting. I think at writing wise and acting wise, if you're going to make your lead an asshat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because most of the time, I was just kind of like, I don't like you, and I kind of hope you go next.
Yeah. Honestly, I was kind of expecting him to die at some point, and then Harriet was going to take over the rest of the movie, but the very exact opposite happened.
So, you've explained to us,
we got our first scene, beautifully shot, there is something that's kind of funny about all the monster attacks. Every single time for some reason, this has like been the modus operandi of like people getting attacked, has been like somebody kind of on the side of the screen and then getting like thrown to the left or right.
Yes.
Almost as if the monster has like a shepherd's crook with him. And he's just pulling people.
Stop.
Set like stage left or right. You know?
Oh my god.
It's just like, oh my god, it's just like an old school open mic over here.
Yeah. There is. I think that gets a little repetitive.
It does.
For me.
It does. I feel okay. There's definitely three people who died that way. And it was the first guy, Harriet. And then there's the
Sunny at the end.
Sunny at the end, yeah.
I also want to point out, so I am that guy who I watch with subtitles. And I think most of our generation does. That's like been like a huge uptick in every, like, we're watching with subtitles.
Especially for some of the movies. Okay. Because there's so many movies right now that like
Mumblecore,
like they're whispering all of a sudden, and it's kind of like, I don't want to go back. I just want to like know what the fuck they said.
Exactly. So that guy's name is Tommy. The first guy.
He's named. Yep.
His name's Tommy.
Oh, wait. There is another guy that gets pulled to the side, and it's the hunter. The owner of the horse.
Yeah.
So four people get, like, fucking, hey, your five is
died
up.
So then we get, this section made me really wonder what time period we were in. And I'll tell you why as we go. So Max wakes up and he has an alarm clock from the 80s. And he looks and it's not on. He's like, fuck. So he goes downstairs. He tries to use his wall phone and it doesn't work. So he gets in his car and drives away. And he, I think the way he describes it is like, because he gets down on the road and the police are there.
Okay, so it's even, so this is a comedic moment that you just skipped over.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, go
no,
ahead.
No, it's fine because like we're freewheeling it and like.
Yeah, see if I remember.
It's been a long time with these bonus episodes that we've taken any notes. We'll just be open with that.
Yeah.
We just kind of watch it and then come here. And we do rely heavily on the wiki. So, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, this happened. And then we remember a bunch of shit. So anyway, giving you justification. Yes. So after he's done like futzing with his phone and his electricity and realizes he's poor and can't pay his electricity bills, he sits down at his like Mac computer, which is somehow on.
Yeah.
And because I guess he charged it and he's working on his next story. Which is some variation of like, it's all just the title, and it's a really long, shitty title about like high school footballers, the date. And he's just like looking at this paper with nothing on it, and he's like, oh, fuck. And he's like looking around for other things to do. I was watching this movie with Emily, and he was like, and she said, this is like a good encapsulation of what it's like to be like ADHD. Just like try to be working on something and just looking around for something else.
It's like
to
the
do.
SpongeBob episode when he has to write
the. And he's like, yeah, he's doing the like Gregorian sort yeah. of like oh writing God. Of the. It's so fucking funny. I feel we've all been there.
I feel that. So we kind of get this idea of who this man is. He's a bum.
He's a bit of a bum.
He's freelancing.
Yeah, he's freelancing.
He's freelancing.
Kind of a bum.
For his art. So he drives down the road and the police is there.
He's a starving artist. I've known
He's just sort of like, hey, talking to the police officer. He's like, hey, you know, what's going on? And Charlie's just sort of like, how'd you know? And he's like, oh, just happened upon. He's like, okay, no, I saw your lights.
Yeah, I was like going to go get something and I saw your lights. Yeah.
So here I am. And so this is also what's where I was like, oh, I know this type, because he's like looking. He's like, so what was it? A murder suicide? Was it a car crash?
We call those ambulance chasers.
Gross. So I immediately
kind of felt like a shitty version of Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
If you've seen that one, that's a good movie.
I'm like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
So I'm like, great, this is our protagonist. And then he immediately goes to a phone booth.
You know what he kind of looks like to me? He kind of looks like a discount version of Father John Misty.
Ooh, you're right. A little bit.
I don't mean to knock you, actor.
Bobo Father John Misty.
Yeah, Bobo
Father John Misty. So between the 80s alarm clock and the wall phone and then him going to a telephone booth, I was like, what fucking year is it? But also number two, the other thing is I asked Allegra, I'm like, have you ever seen a telephone like that anywhere in Maine?
I feel like we got to be in early 2000s to make this make sense.
It's not.
Oh my God, what time period are we in?
She has an iPhone. Also, if you look at the car, the registration is 2020 to 21.
Oh shit, you're right.
And it is not a Maine one. I'm like, this is not Maine.
It wasn't a Maine one. I think it was a New York one almost.
Was it?
It might have been, actually.
Because it was also in the corner. Maine's is up in the center. But
actually, mine's in the corner. Some are in the corner. Some
are
in the center.
Your inspection sticker?
Yeah.
I've never seen it in the corner. Weird.
Look at my windshield. It's in the corner.
Fucking weird. Okay. Anyway, in any event, so that's how I knew what time period this took place in. But Even so, this is like an old school, like red telephone booth, not like a UK one. It's boxy, but I'm like, there are not telephone booths like this in Maine.
No. Also, it was like bright pink, and I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah. It's so he's calling around to try and get a scoop. And then
I'm looking for scoops.
He's looking for scoops.
He did like, so when he's talking with Charlie on the road, though, it is an interesting sort of dynamic of dialogue that they have where it's like you sort of first think like, OK, they have some history here, mm-hmm. some shared history. You're not really led into that initially. And that's what I think was kind of interesting is that the movie does hold its cards to its chest quite closely. So you're not really privy to what is the relationship between Charlie and Max right away. But you know they seem to have some history together. So like, you know, Max like sort of says, hey, I need something. Charlie's like, I can't give it to you. It's like, I need something. I got to pay my bills. My electricity is shut off. I'm in a bad bind. I need something here to make this work. Charlie opens up and says, there's an animal attack. There's some kind of other like issue here. It's like, it seems like it's a bear. We're not sure. So that's all the information he gives. Like Max pries a bit more. That's what I kind of like also. The dialogue sort of like shifts in a way that's like, and I gotta say, a lot of the dialogue is awkward, but I like the way that it paces itself.
The thing is, sometimes it's great.
Yes.
When it hits a stride and like a really okay, I get it.
There's there's a climactic moment where like the whole relationship between Charlie and Max come together.
Bro, I have thoughts.
That I thought it was a great scene.
It's great, but bro.
Like, yeah, no, it was
mine's
a lot.
More like a what is your major malfunction?
but anyway, so it's like we get a good vibe. Max is very pushy. That's something mm-hmm. that we learn. And
yeah, because he's kind of pushing. He's pushing Charlie information. I don't have a whole lot of love for this scene where he's on the phone the first time because we don't hear the other person on the other side. And one of the things that we talked about when I was in, because I went to school for theater, one of the things they're like, something that actors do, and it is a huge pitfall.
Turn their backs to the camera?
No. What? Is, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, 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 I know, I got it. Yeah, yep, yeah. I completely understand, but don't. Yeah, 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 I understand.
Oh my God.
Oh, I totally know what you're talking. And there's no, like, there's no way that the other person has responded.
Yes.
There's no way that the other person is talking.
He did that. He did. If you're listening, we mean it out of love.
Yeah.
But like, I saw that scene and I'm just like, what the fuck is happening here?
There are some, like,
this is bad. Like,
yeah, because you can tell there's no one on the other line. And I also understand that it doesn't work cinematically to like have somebody talk on the other end for like 5 minutes and then you respond.
You know what was interesting is like he did that scene and you're kind of like, this is really not very good. And then later on, there's another scene of him in the phone booth and he's talking to someone and the person's responding to him. And I'm like, this is way better.
They should have just done that.
They should have done that.
I don't know why they didn't.
I think this...
They did. There's another thing.
I think there's a lot of scenes through this movie where they were literally learning on the job.
I think so, too, because there's also something about consistency that I think is strange, because there's another scene where Harriet is texting and we see the texts appear on the screen, but that doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
And it's like it would have been so much easier to just show her phone.
Yeah.
And to see the texts. So it's the same thing with the consistency here where it's like,
and also
why do we have one phone call where it's just him and then another phone call where we hear both sides?
And also like none of these things are like new concepts within filmmaking.
Absolutely
not. We're talking about a film that's been made in 2022. And yeah, we're watching like we've all seen the text conversation of like the bubble text appearing above somebody. And I like how that happens.
It just drives me crazy because I've seen it in another movie where it's just a one off. And I'm like, consistency is key. Like if it's part of your concept, be consistent.
Yeah,
it's like weird when it's one off.
If you're going to throw it in a scene, let it be part of the style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So anyway, he's like having the conversation, and he's like trying to get more information about, like, to the coroner, I think.
It was the coroner.
And so he's like, he's pushy with her, but it's sort of like a kind of a charm aspect that he's like, so he's a charismatic asshole is what we're getting out of here, you know?
And then he also
calls up the partner.
Calls up the partner, who's Harriet, who works at a local newspaper. And
probably the failing Bangor Daily News.
Who said that?
Donald Trump, probably.
The other thing is, if you look at the office, so she picks up, her, she sees he's calling or texting or whatever. She's got an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touchscreen phone. And the office looks like it has not been touched since 1970.
I gotta say, that feels like normal, though, for a news building.
You think so? Yeah.
Like, for, think about how old the WGME building is, you know? Like, how often does that shit gotta get updated, you know? Portland Press Herald, Bangor. Like,
I bet they don't look like that.
I mean, they prop, some of them, some of the rooms probably do. I feel like it's not like, I don't know. I've been in enough office spaces to be like, it's all kind of dingy and no one gives a shit about keeping it up to look modern. And we have this fluorescent lighting and paneling.
It's wood paneling. And I'm like, this looks like a cabin from the 70s. It was not.
Talk about the wood paneling.
Wood paneling.
It is the best feature.
I don't. Harriet deserves better.
Harriet does deserve
better. All across the board. So she comes to his house and he like finagled to get his power back on. And he's just sort of like, you know, there are some stipulations. And I'm like, what, you got to suck his dick every week?
So he got an advance from the newspaper boss to say like, hey, we're going to, and the stipulations are that they're going to deliver some sort of like hard hitting piece by Tuesday. I guess it's a Friday or something.
Yeah. But it's like, but the way he just says it, I'm like, this weird sort of relationship you have here. So he's like, I think I got a story.
So they get on the beat, they get on the trail, they start investigating.
It just gives me such bad vibes because like, they're like, we're, you know, this lady goes missing. This lady and her dog go missing.
Oh, yeah. So it was the, we get a scene. It was Nancy. Her name's Nancy. I forget what her last name is.
Everybody has names.
Yep. Everyone's named. It's fun. Nancy, we get a scene of Nancy taking her dog Dutch outside.
You texted me last night, like, poor Dutch. And I was like half asleep. And I was like.
My phone immediately Vanderland? Died. Yeah. My phone immediately died after I sent that text too. So it was like, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to see her response. But yeah, so this Nancy, and she takes her dog Dutch out. It's pouring rain in the middle of the night. Beautiful shots, I gotta say.
So she's calling for him.
And the dog is barking in the distance, running off to go piddle. And he's barking. He's barking aggressively. And we hear like a weird monster noise hiss type thing. And then all of a sudden, like classic dog yelp of death.
Allegra had just sat down and she's like, motherfucker, this is the type of movie we're watching. Yep. And I was like, yee.
Yee. Emily was also not down to clown with this. Like, she was upset about this.
I think it's really funny how recently our wives have started watching the horror movies with us. And they're just both getting increasingly more upset.
Yeah, they're just like, what is this?
Why are you doing
both
this?
Of like the quality and just like, what, why is this person dying? Mm-hmm. And we have the same thoughts.
So Nancy also perishes at the hands of whatever the fuck this is. She
bombed over at the open mic and she gets taken off screen.
But
here's an interesting shot that it was kind of like, they do a quick little like shadow flash lightning of like this creature bending down and like eating. And we can see it's like a bipedal creature. So we get a slight monster shot. Yeah. Bipedal creature with like jaws kind of snapping. Not. Okay. Here is my thought. People who are in the know will know this.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw like the outline, it looked like Reptile from the Mortal Kombat movie. Like the bad CGI Reptile, it like looked almost exactly like that.
Fun fact, not CG. This is not CG.
It's not CG.
Those are not CG.
Well, like
they
later,
made a big deal about being all practical.
Okay, you see the practical effect later on, and I thought earlier might have been CG, but I get, man. Hey, you know what? I gotta give some respect to that.
Yeah, same. Because
I gotta say, the monster did kind of look cool, like later in the den scene.
That looked like a Muppet. The babies look like Muppets.
They did kind of look Muppety, but they all looked Muppety. But I gotta say, I gotta appreciate someone going back to the practical effects. Brad Rego, I see you, brother.
I see what you're doing.
I think I'm starting to like this movie, the more I talk about it. I think my opinion's starting to change.
Max immediately is asshat number one, and he's like, we're gonna go talk to the neighbor and be very pointed. Here's the thing. I don't know what it's like to be a journalist, but it sort of gives me the ick to the way being like, oh, somebody just died, and I'm just gonna try and bust everyone wide open. It's about me, baby.
It's about me.
Me and my story. I'm gonna make everyone uncomfortable. I'm gonna stick my ass so far into this investigation. Nobody's gonna be able to hide from my discerning eye. No, I hate it.
I love that. I fucking love that. Oh my gosh.
Back all the way in, like, yeah, take a shit on this investigation.
He's like twerking in. It's kind of like, I've done this to you before, but I'll be like, I'll be like in like another room.
Yeah.
And then I'll just like start twerking and sliding my feet. So like my ass is propelling me backwards. And you've seen me like just do. It's hard to describe, but B has seen it.
I think we all know what you're talking about. We get it.
Yeah.
So they are kind of playing, they're a little bit playing good cop, bad cop. They're not cops. But he's just kind of like, what? It's a little cold that you didn't go out to see what was wrong.
Yeah, I'm like just really grilling this neighbor.
Yeah, and Harriet's a little more like, oh, well. It's understandable. And we do get a shot like that's sort of like a flashback, and he steps out and he's wearing LL Bean duck boots. So I was like, there it is, we're in Maine. We're in Maine.
We've established a place.
And yeah, they're being like, he's like, are you saying that I murdered her? And he's like, no.
I'm just like, we know your character. We know you're a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you didn't try helping her. And then he opens up. And then it's this whole, I like the way the scene is done.
Where he goes out but he's like, I heard something. I don't know what it is, but I heard something.
Yeah.
It was not.
And it's like, he's talking and it's like this silent flashback of him like putting his gear on, trying to go outside, seeing like something weird happening outside, and then going back in and calling the cops. And like, that was a really cool scene. I like the way that was edited.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was strong. That was one of the strongest
scenes.
But
fuck Max.
Fuck Max. But it makes sense why he did it. You know, he was like, he was trying to dick.
It doesn't make it any less scummy.
No, I mean, he's
but I understand narratively, we have to get the information.
Yeah. But also, like, his establishment as a scummy character makes sense in this.
I just hate that he's our protagonist. I won't get over that.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
It's like, he's my protagonist. I have to want him to live. And I don't.
I start liking him more as the movie goes on. I do. First impressions are bad, but I think the movie does a better job of like redeeming him in some capacity. But it's also like, you feel bad for him. He's got some fucked up ideas of his, like, his relationships with Charlie in a way.
Yeah.
That I feel like there's a moment where Charlie is out. This actually happens before all this like talk with the neighbor. But there's a moment where Charlie is like, where Max is telling Harriet, about like his findings and like why he thinks this is a good story. And he says like, well, Charlie seemed off. Like, I've never seen him like that. Not since the day Nancy died. And you don't know who Nancy is, and you kind of mm-hmm. like assume, oh, is that like his wife or something?
I assumed it was wife.
That's what I assumed. Just gonna spoil it here. Nancy is Max's wife. Nancy is Charlie's stepdaughter or sister?
I think it's sister because sister. He says later, he's like, when our parents died, mm-hmm. I did my best to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
So that I was like, oh. Because I did, yeah, it took me a minute to like wrap my head around
but
that.
Like, but now we know that Nancy is this conjoining relationship between mm-hmm. Charlie and Max.
Which, fair.
But it's also, but here's the other fucked up thing, is that Max approaches the conversation around Charlie like, he wasn't the same since Nancy died. And you are? And that's the beauty. And that's the thing that it's like, this subtle yeah. tone of the character that I find interesting, that it's like, oh, it could have been so much better.
Just, yeah, because for me, it didn't land. I don't care about him. I don't. And I never got to that point. And again, that's just, I think it's interesting us having that dichotomy.
I think it's because like,
it can be, like, not every viewer's the same. For you, it worked itself out. For me, I am really upset Harriet dies instead.
For me, it's that I am a self-loathing individual and recognize that I am an imperfect being. And to see somebody be so fully up their own ass in a way is sort of like, oh man, you don't know how much of a piece of shit you are. But it's sort of like that kind of redeems himself a little bit because it's kind of like maybe he's trying or maybe he knows. It's like we don't know until we go further in.
I mean, feel the like dude has problems.
Yeah. And I feel like he knows he's a piece of shit.
The dude has problems. Yeah. But as there, because I don't like his relationship with Harriet either, because there's some shit that he does that I'm like, what? Like the whole thing where she gets another job and she's like, I got to pass this story off. And he's like, you're not leaving. You're staying. I don't care. He's like, I know this probably blows your plans wide open, but I don't give a fuck because I needs what I needs.
Jesus.
And I'm like,
that is a. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And then she dies because of it. So I'm just like, she deserves so much better. I also think it's really funny because she tries to be like, you are talented. You should get out and work in like Boston or New York. And he's like, you think I'm going to write for a paper that talks about the Yankees? And I'm like, Boston paper will talk about the Sox, dipshit. They're not going to talk about the Yankees.
I think there is. Well, I mean,
if she had just said in New York, sure. But he's like, you don't want to work for a paper that covers the Yankees at all point blank, then you're not working for a newspaper.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, I am a Sea Dogs fan through and through.
Sea Dogs only.
Sea Dogs stand. Because
it would have been fun. I think it would have been funnier if I didn't catch the fact that he also said, I don't want to work for a Boston newspaper. And I'm like, but the Boston newspaper wouldn't be talking about the Yankees unless they're playing the Sox.
I forget. I think there was like a bunch of other, maybe there was some other newspapers she meant. I don't know. Maybe
she said, you belong in New York or Boston. And he said, I don't want to write for a paper that talks about the Yankees.
Okay, yeah.
That's the conversation. And I was like,
you're right.
Please do something.
Yeah.
Edit that. Make it funnier.
Make it funny. I think Harriet was pretty funny most of the time.
I know.
I think also, she had some pretty quippy remarks.
I feel like I'm all over the place. Where you are. So what happens after the neighbor Jackson?
I don't fucking know, man. They're researching. All right, so they're researching. They're on the trail. At some point, they do get into the woods. They're investigating. They're taking their little magnifying glasses and their little Sherlock Holmes caps. They're running in the woods.
He's also, yeah. No, go ahead. Anyway. I'm not going to derail.
So they're going in the woods and they find tracks. They find mysterious tracks bigger than a bear. Doesn't look like a bear paw. Ooh, what could this be? They also find a weird fucking hole in the ground. It reminded me of the Palmyra werewolves, actually.
Ooh, you're right. They dig a hole.
Maybe that was the inspiration, actually. So the Palmyra werewolves, check it out. One of our older episodes.
You make an excellent point. Continue. Yeah.
So the Palmyra werewolves, there was this whole thing around this like cryptid of like sort of a SW.
You was know, it an SW?
I think there was some in like a little push there. Check out SW Ranch if you want to know what that is.
No, don't.
B doesn't like me saying the word.
No, here's the thing. I'll tell you why we don't talk about this.
Because
the Native Americans say, don't fuck with it. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. They say, don't talk about it because it attracts it. You're right. Absolutely. Bingo bongo. I'm not dealing with it.
I've watched some batshit documentaries about that location.
Nope.
And like, okay, there's a whole series out there. It's so stupid.
Nope.
It's the dumbest thing ever. But anyway. So... I think there was some like kind of connection there during the cryptid episode, but it was sort of like a werewolves, some kind of like weird mythical creature.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the big things was that it'd burrow into the ground and pop out at night. This thing, like they found a weird, like not a huge hole, but it was sort of like if I stuck my arms right above my head and stretched them out, maybe I'd fit into this hole, but it's very thin.
Thin, yeah.
It's not like man-sized hole. It's mm-hmm. sort of like you have to be kind of thin to fit through this thing. So they found this weird hole. They didn't see the bottom. They're kind of like curious about it, but
yeah.
That is going to be a thing that they find with that in the woods during all their different crime scenes that they look at.
Mm-hmm.
Next scene, we're jumping around. We don't have notes. We're going crazy over here.
The movie's also a little jumpy wumpy.
It's very jumpy wumpy, yeah.
Which sometimes works. Other times I'm like, the fuck is happening?
Let's hit the highlights. Maybe this will be the editor's cut. The real editor's cut of like, mm-hmm. here's the highlights of what this movie is about.
Because, there are some scenes where, like, I think there's a scene at the beginning where he and Harriet are talking for so long that I kind of glazed over because I'm like, this does not need to be this long.
Yeah.
You two talking. I think I was 30 minutes in and I was like, you're still fucking talking?
Yeah.
You're just sitting in his living room talking?
There's a lot of times where I was just like, way too much exposition. I'm falling asleep. So one of the major scenes here, we got Horseman. What was his name?
I did not catch his name, but so he's got a horse.
Hold on.
Fun fact, the horse is not going to make it.
Horse ain't going to make it. Anyway, Horseman. He's got a stable. There's a horse in it. Putting away the horse for the night. Then turns off the lights, walks away. Then all of a sudden, horse neighs. Horse neigh in pain. Reptile hisses. Ooh, what's happening here?
What's happening here?
Horseman goes in. Lots of gore all over the ground.
Not good. Crazy stuff.
Not good. Bad.
Bad. Horse is expensive.
Bad. Not good for business.
Bad.
I'm like talking like Kevin from The Office. Why use many word when few word good? Or something like that.
So he goes back in. Viscera everywhere.
Viscera. Many. And then we get to a couple other... Man, we'll just fucking speed up. Like... There's a lot of back and forth. I mean, a lot of phone calls being made.
Yeah, there's the text where he's like, hey, I'm faxing you a report, autopsy report.
Yes.
And have you ever picked up a fax at a convenience store?
No.
Is that something that... So he's like, I'm putting it under a fake name. This is where we see a convenience store girl for the first time.
Yes. So it's and... this. Oh. Oh. It's like classic goth girl mm-hmm. working a cashier job at a convenience store reluctantly, needs some money. And she's just so sarcastic.
She reminds me, I think her name, she reminds me of Stevie from Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
Working at the hotel.
Yes.
So.
Perfect. Perfect.
She picks it up. And the other reason you know you're in Maine is because they have Utz chips.
Utz.
U-T-Z, Utz. I think it's Utz. So, we've got Utz chips. And so she's buying these chips. She's distracted by the autopsy report. There's yeah, this weird is Harriet. Shit. Yeah. Harriet picks it up. It's weird shit. And then the other thing, so she pays for it. She hands her the money. She's like, keep the change. And I was, having worked retail, you don't just keep the change because it makes it so your cash register is unbalanced and you have to account for that at the end of the night.
B, as a employee with loose morals, no, you don't. They said, keep the change, B.
It's a tip.
Looks like I just made a dollar. All
right. Whatever you say. But I do think it's funny that that's sort of like a thing that happens because he does it to her later. He's like, keep the change. And I'm like, oh, this is just happening to her all the time. No, but then he comes back and he's like,
actually, I need that.
I thought that was really, that was so funny.
Fucking funny. That like Max, yeah.
So funny.
Max coming back and like, no, wait, no, I actually need that. It was like, I feel you, man.
So they start putting, highlights. They start putting things together about some attacks that have happened through the history of Maine. They look at like Cumberland and all these different counties.
Max
and
basically is able to create this like circular oval shaped drawing mm-hmm. of like tracking the various attacks that have happened within the last 20, 25 years to like say it's always like five attacks and then it goes away. And then there's another spat of five attacks in this area and then it goes away. Another spat of five attacks. And then, like, a full circle of the rotation is about like, 5 to 7 years. It is Pennywise, yeah. It's sort of like, it waits 7 years or whatever, and then it comes back and eats some more children.
Yum, 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 yum. And she...
I am the destroyer of worlds.
Harriet is the one who also sort of looks at, like, the weather patterns, and she's like, this only happens when it's raining.
Yeah.
Put a pin in that, please.
Pins.
Pins everywhere.
All over the floor.
So So he has a moment at the convenience store where he, you know, he's getting his stuff, and then he runs into Bill, who runs the paper, the one that gave him the advance, and he's like, it's really funny to me because Bill is like, yeah, my niece is having a birthday party and they're shooting the shit. He's like, yeah, I got to talk to you. And he's like, Max is like, no, I don't have time to talk right now. I have to go. I have to go because shit's happening. And he's like, no, we need to talk right now. And he's like, you need to find another job.
Damn, son.
And he's just sort of like, but I have a big story coming. He's like, I'll buy your story, but you have to find another job.
Yeah.
And then he walks the opposite way.
I did think that was funny.
Did you not say that you came down here to like, did he just know Max was at the convenience?
He was getting more booze for a party at his house and then he just fucking walked away. It was so funny. I also noticed that. I was like, wait, you're just like going to come back empty handed?
So he's
I'm going to Hannaford.
So the other thing that I don't like, and she said, because Harriet realizes when shit's getting real, she's like, we need to get other people. We have to get other people involved.
Yeah.
We need someone else to be involved. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I'm not feeding it to the jackals. This is my story. And I'm like, people are dying, Max. People are dying.
Yeah.
And you're concerned about your scoop. And I'm like, I understand you got bills to pay, but like, have a little humanity, bro.
Please, brother.
Brother. Yeah. So they eventually go to Charlie.
They do, yeah.
They go to Charlie. So they
eventually, Harriet forces the call.
Harriet's like, gotta do this.
Charlie comes over after the shift. There's a big old dramatic, like,
it's so drama.
Unloading of the feelings.
Because, so he's trying to be like, there's this creature. And Charlie, I think, rightfully is kind of like, even if he did believe him, he's like, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah, yeah.
What am I supposed to do with that?
There's a mythical creature killing people. Cool.
He said, the mare is so far up my ass, I'm spitting up buttons.
I did think that was funny, huh?
And so this becomes an altercation because he says Nancy would have believed. Nancy would have believed me.
And Charlie comes back and says, fuck you. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling this.
Some of this is spicy.
This is spicy conversation.
So, the other thing that it's giving me, this scene reads as super realistic to me too, because he's like,
This was the most real scene.
He's like, I did what I could to protect her. I did my best because when our parents died, I had to step in. And Max is like, you just gave her rules and this and this, and she was in a prison. And then he was just sort of like, I did it to protect her. And Max is like, a lot of good that did.
Oh, third degrees, my guy.
He deserved the punch in the face.
He did.
Well deserved. But it's so, because it is one of those things where it's like, people can only do, a lot of times, like, for example, I see, like, in this situation, Charlie probably was just doing his best, and maybe he never had a conversation with Nancy about, like, how it did make her feel, like, how she responded to how he was raising her and taking care of her.
Yeah.
And, like, especially in a sibling relationship, yeah. I think that's different from, like, your parents. But also, sometimes you do just gotta cop to the fact that, like, sometimes people make the wrong choices. They right. are just doing the best that they can.
Right.
And it is not always a good idea to try and, like, be like, yeah, let's, like, hash it out. Sometimes it's like, I'm going to go to therapy and deal with that there.
Yep, 100%. Yep, fair.
But yeah, the claws came out. And I there's a part of me that's like, I don't think that he should be surprised that he got a punch in the face. But yeah, so Charlie's like, conversation over. We're done here. We're done. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're done. And Harriet's just sort of like, oh no, like, okay. So, that went well.
Long story short, Charlie does mention we're going to do a hunting party like tomorrow night or whatever, for whatever this might be.
Yep.
Like, he says that. So, but then in the meantime, Harriet says, I can call up my game warden guy. I'm going to go get him.
And then, I missed that because I'm like, who the fuck is this guy in the car?
Yeah, that was the game warden from Portland.
Rip.
So
rip that guy.
She immediately leaves from the house.
It's weird because it's a fade to black and then a fade back in with her coming back.
Max is waking up. It's pouring rain. Oh, rain. Hmm.
Take the pin out of this. Allegra, as she gets out of the car, Allegra's like, you're the one that said that it only hunts during the rain. What are you doing?
And also... They, like, found a hole near his house that fucking day.
That's whatever. I don't know why. Like, this is, it's so unnecessary. So we get her getting out of the car, and then he gets up, and then we see him go to the door, and then Harriet shows up outside of the glass door, and she's
gurgling
dying. Blood. And in this moment, I'm like,
what the fuck?
Harriet is an important enough character that she does not deserve to die off fucking screen. Are you kidding me?
And then, lo and behold, she gets crooked. She gets thrown off.
It isn't.
Gets murked.
It makes me so. I really don't understand what. Like, why?
And then we get our,
it's
like...
It's fine if she dies, but, like, there's no lead up, nothing. Just, there she is, she's dead.
Gurgle, dead.
I wonder if there's something on the cutting room floor.
There might be. Who knows?
But I'm wondering if, like, whoever did the editing or whoever, like, helped with the final cut, if they're like, no, we just like Max, if they like Max better.
I don't know.
They're like, fuck, like, Harriet, I guess.
It's super fucking upsetting. I thought Harriet had, like, the stronger role. I thought that she was also, like, slated to be leaving. Like, there was a whole opening up moment where she was like, I'm going to Boston.
And that's why I said I think she deserves so much better, because he's the one that made her stay.
Yeah.
And now she's fucking dead.
Yeah. So then
and he gets so upset about it. I'm like, you're... Bruh.
I think there's a lot of guilt is what the feeling is.
Mm-hmm.
You're Catholic. You know all about that.
Oh, we're Catholic. Sure do.
And so And so,
she gurgle, gurgle.
She gurgle, gurgle. And then we get our first, like, good monster shots,
How
I guess.
How do you feel about this?
Monster shots?
Them showing it. I know there's always, I think this people was... always discuss, like, when is the appropriate time to show the monster?
I think there's, this felt very tropey as far as, I love monster movies. This felt very tropey. So it's like, so you get a lot of shadow figures throughout most of the movie of like, oh, I can't quite see it, can't quite see it. And then it's usually like 3/4 in is you get like a quick shot of the monster, quick look at it. And then at the end, you get like a full reveal.
This is a close little, to the end. Little more than this. It's pretty full reveal.
I mean, not fully. You get a silhouette that's a little bit more defined. Earlier, we had a decent silhouette of the monster,
but you also get the face.
Yeah, you get a face reveal, and that's pretty normal. But it's a close-up face reveal.
Yeah.
So you don't get like the full like, what am I really looking at? You get a side profile face reveal of the monster.
I did immediately think though, because you mentioned the Palmyra werewolves, and I think it might be in the middle. Because I also was like, is this the fucking Dungiven Hooter?
There's a very reptilian aspect to this
and
creature.
And it's got a long snoot.
Long snoot. It does look like a Dungiven Hooter. Sniff, sniff,
it's
sniff.
Almost like they were like, I don't like the sniff, 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 ass, like pound into the ground and sniff, sniff paste.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like.
It eats you.
Maybe it's like, okay, we're going to take the Dungiven Hooter and mix it with the Palmyra werewolves.
That was kind of the vibe. Yeah, it feels that way. Maybe that's it.
Because it does
Brad
have
Rego.
Like, the body is very werewolfy, like sort of how you see more modern werewolves, not like big hairy things, but more like. Like, especially thinking, like, Harry Potter werewolves.
100%, yeah. Like, yep. Kind of, like, hunchbacked, a little kind of scrawny looking.
A little
you know,
fleshy.
A little fleshy. I didn't think it looked bad. But
no.
But as far as, like, the reveal here, this seemed, like, very typical for, like, a monster movie. It's like, you get, at this point, closer towards the end, it's like, yes, you get more reveal of it. It's like, you want to see more of it. And then it's like, this kind of gave you a good enough taste of what the monster looked like before the ending. So then Max runs away and the monster goes away, drags Harriet, I guess, away.
And the game warden.
And the game warden. Is the game warden dead too?
I thought we saw the car and it was empty.
Oh, shit. Wild. Okay.
Because he's the only one that we see there when the cops come.
I totally missed that part.
I might be making shit up, but I swear to God that you see a shot of the car and it's totally empty.
Damn. I missed that, I think. So, it's like, oh, crazy. Where'd they go? Clearly dead. And we have the whole, like, sirens. Max is seated all, like, silent.
You know, you're very typical.
Typical,
like people are moving around him, and
all
he's like,
around me are familiar faces. It's that kind of vibe, you know? And then we get to the point of like, next day, they're coming together. They're going to do the hunt. They're going to go hunt this bastard.
And this is where I kind of blacked out.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest with you.
Let me run through it because we're almost an hour in. But like what happens then is we've got Charlie, Horseman, and then Sonny, who is the deputy, I guess. And then Max is joining them. So he has his own gun and they do a quick check. And it's like, when's the last time you fired this thing? And it's like a super old like hunting shotgun for quail. It's like a .22. And then they, like, give him a rifle and it's like, yeah, use this. So then they go off on their little hunt for the monster. They make some suggestions. They go up towards this farm where it's, like, because it burrows so much, like, this might be a good spot for it to, like, come up because it's, like, easy to turn soil. It makes sense that it would be over here.
I like that there's a scientific reasoning for it.
Yeah, there was some reasoning for it. See, there's like some weird like details just kind of thrown out there that are sort of like, oh man, they're like really trying to care about the establishment of why they go somewhere. And it's like, yeah, okay. There's some good bones here. There's some okay bones.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you.
So anyway, they move they get to the farm and I hear some hissing. Hiss, hiss, hiss. Sniff, sniff, sniff. And they find all of a sudden, like, there's a quick shot of, I think, of the horse guy getting, like, sliced up a little bit.
Yeah.
He gets got, pulled off screen. He had a bad five. And he's dead. And then who gets attacked? No. They start running away. And then Max falls into a hole, which is one of the lizard holes. And gets, like, kind of beat up enough where he's kind of struggling to move around. But he's, like, stuck in the hole. And then Charlie and Sonny are like, where the fuck is Max? I don't know. Let's go keep moving. And then Sonny has this insane idea where he's like, the creature responds to blood. And then he, like, takes a knife out and starts ripping his hand open with his blade.
I'm so glad this is the guy you brought with you.
Yeah. And then Charlie's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then Sonny's like, we respond to blood. If I just smear my blood on trees, then we might be able to corner it to a specific spot. And he's just like, or if not, I'm going to need some stitches. And I thought that was kind of funny. It was just like, but Charlie reacting to be like, what the fuck is happening? It was like so peak to me. So they try to, like, do this whole thing. Yeah, they're smearing blood on the trees above while Max is still, like, down below. And we get shots of Max down below trying to climb up back up the hole, but he's too weak and stupid to do it. So he, like, goes and explores further into this weird sort of, like, cave system. Up above, Charlie and Sonny are still, like, They're staking out their, like, corner of last line of defense here, you know, their last hurrah. We got Custer over here. And they're, like, smearing the blood everywhere. And then, like, Sonny's like, okay, I'm going to aim. And then, like, Charlie's like, all right, you cover me. This is so fucking stupid. And Charlie goes out into, like, the middle of the trees and is, like, looking around. And then it's kind of like, I kind of like how this is shot. We kind of have a little, like, overview, sort of overshot shoulder of Sonny, and we see slight movement. It's blurry, but we see slight movement.
Yes.
And in my mind, I was like,
I do love, that's the sort of thing that I love.
I love that shit. So it was cool to see that. But also in my mind was like, yeah, why is Sonny, like, doing the cover fire here? Because he's bleeding from his hand. And you're kind of like realize that for a moment. And then Charlie is like, wait, a fresh wound. And then he looks back and Sonny's getting got and having a bad time. He's getting bit. And then Charlie shoots and, like, nicks the monster and the monster runs away. But Sonny's having a bad time. So Sonny then, like, is like, oh, ooh, ah, ooh. And this says, Charlie, you got to go on. We'll stake out. And Charlie's like, no, we got to get you a fucking hospital, dude. And he's like, no, keep going. It's like, we got to kill this thing now or else it's going to harm people down the line. He's like, all right, fine. So Charlie goes off and goes on a monster hunting. And then Sonny all of a sudden, so Max is still trying to get out of the hole, looks up and sees Sonny. Sonny somehow has come by the hole. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Don't know how. But he's able to find him. And Sonny's like, Charlie went off to go find the monster, but I didn't see him for a while. And then I heard a scream, so I don't know what's happening. And so I'm here now. He's like, well, do you got a rope? No, do you? And it was like, so funny. So then Charlie is like, all right, well.
Charlie?
Sorry.
Max.
Max is like, all right, I'm going to keep looking around. He goes into, like, the deeper part of the, oh, wait, no, shit. I skipped over a whole thing.
They're babies.
So, yeah, before their interaction with Sonny, Max is looking around into the deeper parts of the hole and finds eggs.
Nasty little eggs.
Nasty little eggs. It's like that moment in Jurassic Park 2. You remember that?
Yeah.
Where it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, they found eggs. It's like, oh, they're not supposed to reproduce. Or maybe it was that in the first
one. It's in the first one.
No, it's in the first one. You're right.
Because they have frog DNA. And for those of you who don't know, you can transition your sex in the wild. It happens a lot. Both frogs and cuttlefish do it.
That's true. Yeah. Resilient creatures.
Fun fact about cuttlefish is sometimes a weaker male will pretend to be a female so that way he can get close to the female that the larger male has.
And then he, like, gets in there and is, like, two pump chump. Kind of like a little secret on the side guy.
Yes.
That's funny.
So the girl will have a big guy and a little guy. Like, but the big guy just thinks it's another girl. It's great.
That's really funny.
It's fucking hilarious.
So anyway, Max is in there before talking to Sunny and is like, finds eggs. He doesn't smash them immediately. Big mistake. But he notices fucking one idiot. Of them. He notices some scurrying in the background. Then he gets bit in his ankle. He's like, ow. And it latches. It really goes. It really latches. And so he's having a mortal struggle with this baby lizard.
This baby lizard looks like it's it looks like it was designed by the Henson Company.
It looks like a Skeksis.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. It does. I also said that. I was like, this is a Skeksis. And so gets bitten on the shoulder. It's a mortal struggle. Eventually he's able to shoot it. But he's having a bad time. There's actually a pretty... I like this shot. I really like this shot. He's on the ground. He's bleeding from his shoulder and his ankle. And he's just struggling. He's just trying to get up. Mm-hmm. And he's like upset, crying, trying to figure things out. And he's just like... We just watch him kind of struggle for like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked it.
I agree.
It was an interesting moment. And it was kind of like... I don't see this very often. It was very interesting.
It's a little humbling moment for everybody.
Yeah, for Max especially. Max is able to get up, go to the hole that he wasn't able to climb.
Allegra was like, the fuck? Because he uses the baby's claws.
He eventually, when they're having the conversation, and he's like, I don't have a rope. Oh, I don't have a rope. And so he's talking to Sunny. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he goes back to the baby, rips its arms off.
and uses their
claws to climb up the hole.
Do you think the baby's claws are strong enough to hold that man?
I also thought they probably wouldn't be, but whatever. We're here now.
Ingenuity.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So then...
Sunny dies.
Sunny gets fucking yanked. He had a bad 2 minutes, I guess. And then the monster's coming down that hole.
And Max struggled to like orient myself.
This was a weird, I agree. There was some weird like angles here to kind of wrap your head around. But as far as I could like figure it out, it was like the monster was coming down the hole, mm-hmm. came up to Max. Max is like halfway, almost like through the tunnel. And the monster is like, looks at him, looks down at the claws that he's like, hoisting himself with and is like, what the fuck? And then is like about
to... stole my baby's hands.
And is about to chomp his ass. Max kind of resigns himself at this point. He's like...
But Charlie comes to save the day,
Charlie comes to save the day and blasts that boy. Blasts that lizard right up the ass and kind of hits Max in the process. Drags him out of the hole. Next, Max wakes up in the hospital. And it's like, oh, man. And then Charlie's like, man, what a crazy time. And then Max is like, we have to go back. There's eggs in there. Crazy. Should have just smashed those eggs. Should have smashed the eggs when he had a chance. He had a chance, too. Just fucking get the butt of that rifle and go.
He's an idiot.
He is an idiot. But anyway, they somehow are able to get Max discharged from the hospital. To go.
That's why the end. I don't know if they were like, so oh rushed. Shit, we gotta wrap this up.
But
like, you spent so much time at the beginning just meandering, and this is what you're rushing.
Yeah. So,
Baby, no. But I think you're right. I hope that they learned a lot from this movie.
I think they did. But like, yeah, they get to it. There's all these eggs that have hatched. It's like, it's gonna be even worse next time. And then it's like, what do we got to do? Max is like, we got to arm every man, woman, and child here. And they do like a fade out of another main town or whatever.
That was so fucking weird.
It was so weird.
Because he's like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'll go home.
I'm going to go home. It was weird. There were some okay bones here.
I agree. There are bones.
There were bones. Not sure what. But the bones were there. Hold on.
Who is this?
That's just someone calling you?
No, it was just... I've been getting a lot of, like, campaign ads from Democrats. Mm. They think they're my... They think they're my dad. They think I'm my dad.
Hello. They think they're your dad.
Hello, son. It's been a long time.
Will you vote for me in the primary?
I have an open seat in Chicago. Will you vote for me, son? No, I'm from Maine. My son, will you give me $5?
So that's what we got. That's anyway, the movie.
That's the movie.
I think the it just sort of like it goes to black. There's like a beat, and then it's like credits, and the lawyer's like.
That's also why I felt I was like, what the fuck was this? Like, what a weird ending.
It is so weird.
I like that they opened it up for Cryptid 2.
I really did.
Yeah.
I do think it's real, like, the reptile-y aspect is so interesting. I did say to Allegra, I was like, I kind of want a movie like this where it builds up, and then it's actually like nothing. It is just a bear.
That'd be really fucking funny.
Because I don't think that anybody's ever subverted the trope or the genre that way. Like, there's all this weird stuff, and then, like, it is just a bear.
Yeah, like, just a fucking massive bear. You know?
So, I think all I have is the estimated budget for you.
A guesstimate budget?
I have a guesstimate of the budget.
Can I at least get an idea of, like, where the fuck the money for this came from? Like, was it a Kickstarter?
It no? was filmed in Massachusetts, actually. It was.
Oh, that makes sense.
It was filmed in Mount Washington.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, the way that all the forests look, yeah.
We fucking nailed it. Because I knew, I was like, this is New England. It gives me Massachusetts.
Yep.
So... It is, because it is Massachusetts. Did you also see that...
It's only 2 hours away, guys. Just fucking drive up.
One of the production companies was Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Yeah, I did. Oh, my God. Really? Yeah. I remember reading those books when I was a kid.
I read Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul.
Yeah.
So, what do you think the guesstimate of the budget is?
My guesstimate is low. My guesstimate... Okay, there's the house. There was a couple of other, like, weird trailer locations they picked. I'm going to say $400,000.
You're really close. $305,000.
Oh, baby.
I think that's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, honestly, I'd say that's pretty solid. I knew it was very low budget. This is one of the most... Okay, got to say, though, B... Mm-hmm. This is probably one of the smallest budgets we've seen yet. The camera work was really good, though.
It's really good. Was it? I hope that they paid him really well.
Well, I gotta say, it's like, I know I've heard people say, oh, they like shot the entirety of Iron Man on an iPhone or some bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I guess same principle here.
What you might not know.
What I might not know.
So, it's really funny because... We'll get to what the ratings are online, but this has won.
I know they're bad.
This has won 4 awards.
What?
At the Adirondack Film Festival, it won Best Feature Film and Best of Fest. Shockfest Film Festival, it got Best Director. And another Hole in the Head Genre Film Festival got Best Action/Adventure Feature Film.
You know what? I could see them getting that if we're talking about, like... If I'm assuming it's a lot of new directors and new actors, I gotta say, like, if this is everybody's, like, first time at the thing, it's all right, you know? You got a face...
Oh, that's why. Okay, so on IMDb, it has a 4.9 out of 10.
Which is pretty bad.
And now you're going to know why I'm making the face. I want you to guess what Rotten Tomatoes has for this.
Oh my God, I bet the... 70%. 70% for the crowd, for the audience.
94%.
94! Whoa, that's way higher than I anticipated.
Cryptid is the cinematic equivalent of... Cryptid is the cinematic equivalent of comfort food with a soothing feel of childhood memories and no nutrition at all.
That's apt. That's apt,
Michael,
honestly.
Michael Talbot Hayne. Well, that was a six.
That's how I feel, though. And it's like, there's some good bones. There's some fun stuff in here, but it's sort of like, there's some questionable scenes and like,
I kind of
choices.
Agree with Shirai Bohannon. This movie cuts off its dynamite at every turn, which makes it hard to have a good time as a viewer. It's also a very long journey for so little reward.
I agree with that. Yeah, it edges you quite a bit. Not a huge payout. Kind of a disappointing ending as well.
Yeah, I think those two are... That makes a lot of sense. There are no featured audience reviews, so we've just got the... We've got a handful of... Yeah, we only have four critic reviews, really, and three are fresh, one is rotten.
I gotta say, though, like, I hope everybody that has been part of this continues with their careers, because I do think there's a lot that they probably learned from this experience. And I wasn't mad about all of the choices that have been made in this film. But there are just kind of like moments here and there that just make this into a not a great film.
Oh, wait, no, there are some. Because it said no featured audience reviews, but there are some here.
Mm-hmm.
All I will say, when is the sequel? Enough said, I think.
My guy, what movie were you watching?
Let's see. Two main things that make this movie stand out from the rest. One is the focus on character development rather than cheap jump scares. The other is the originality of the story and script. It's a well-crafted throwback creature feature that builds suspense artfully. Well-done original movie and acting was fantastic. 5 stars from Eric H.
I don't agree with you on the acting. I think it was shaky in a lot of different scenes. It did shine. It did come through in very pinnacle scenes. And the acting was pretty good. Consistency-wise, I didn't think it stood up there. Creature feature, kind of like throwback. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really did like corner that feel of a creature feature. I love the fact that now learning that it's practical effects. I knew that there was some puppetry going on once I saw the baby.
It's very obviously
the final
puppet.
Monster. Like, that was really cool. I didn't really quite realize that when we were looking at some of the shots. But I like that they did that attempt.
Yeah.
As far as like Cryptid 2, yeah, do it.
See, this person also said, like, it's really interesting. People's opinions are weird, interesting. So Cruz C says this movie should be called Verbal Diarrhea because it's basically 30 minutes of action weighed down by 70 minutes of the lead characters blabbing about themselves.
Okay, yeah, 100% agree with that. Like, what is this fucking Wes Anderson tweed conversations that we're having here every
Marcus
like, second?
Marcus E says, proper night lighting was a glaring deficiency. Acts 1 and 2 were very good, but it fell apart in Act 3. Which you disagreed with, so I think that's interesting.
Well, I was thinking about it in sort of halves. I think that it was a lot stronger in the second half. I would say second half, because I wouldn't say the third act is what I'm anticipating they're calling it, mm-hmm. is weak. I think the third act, if we're going to break it up into 1, 2, 3, I think the third act is the most consistent, aside from the ending. The ending mm-hmm. was very abrupt. But I think like you needed the second act to really bolster the third to be what it was.
Yes.
But I also think that there is a lot of bold choices made in the second half of the film that I thought were stupid.
Ed S.
Harriet
says,
dying and all
yeah,
that.
Ed S. says, finally, an intelligent horror movie.
Fuck off, man.
You like, haven't watched a lot of them. Sorry, Ed. You haven't watched a lot of horror movies lately,
there's,
I guess.
There's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah, lots of people are like, acting is fantastic.
Don't get that.
Specifically Max.
What? No. Gotta say, Max, that's not your name. I know that. I'm sure you learned a lot from this, man. Like,
yeah.
I actually think, like, aesthetically, I think you're really cool. I like the way you talk. Kind of reminds me of Adam Pally in a way. Like, I'd love to see you in more shit. But it also, like, this whole... There's a lot of mumbling. There's a lot of mumbling. Not enough enunciation. And, like, I don't equate... I try not to, like, fucking think to myself, like, an actor is bad. Because
no,
the direction can be bad, and make an actor bad, you know? Mm-hmm. Or the editing. There's so many fails inside of a film.
Something that I've learned from watching America's Next Top Model and now RuPaul's Drag Race is... If they make you do multiple cuts, like, they can just choose whatever they want.
Yes. Yeah, they can. Yeah.
If everyone else is good in a shot and you're the weak link, they'll be like, gotta sacrifice that because everyone else's performance is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, you know, or, ooh, the lighting was off in these other two great takes. I guess that's what we're going with. So there is that. There's, I think you're right. There's a lot to go into it. I am very surprised by the amount, like, how highly this is rated.
On the Rotten Tomatoes side.
Especially since we've seen movies that, like, I've seen better movies with lower scores.
100%, and, yes.
The other thing that's also really interesting is, just food for thought, I was in a horror movie, and we all gave it, everyone that was part of that movie went on Amazon and gave it 5 stars. So there are some that I'm reading that I'm like, was this an actual... The guy that said, finally, an intelligent horror movie, follow this writer as he looks for this cryptid through the woods. And I'm like, that's exactly how I sounded when I wrote my review for the movie I was in.
Yeah, just a synopsis of the plot itself. And like,
because I didn't watch the movie.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't watch the movie that I was in. But I, not saying that all of the, you may have loved this movie. You may be like, B, I wrote a review for this movie because I actually really liked it. And I think you're talking out your ass.
But and that, we are, because we're on a podcast.
But I do think that there are some on there where, like, the acting is great. This is the best horror movie I've ever seen. I get the ones that are a little bit more, a little more tepid, that are like, yeah, 5 stars. I love a good, you know, horror cryptid, like, creature feature that I can just pop some popcorn to, throw back, and, like, have a couple laughs. Like, it's serviceable and entertaining.
And you know what? If I wasn't doing this for a podcast, maybe I'd feel that way. You know? If I wasn't trying to approach this from such a, like, an analytical viewpoint, I think I'd probably feel that way, yeah.
About halfway through, I blacked out. I don't remember half of the end of the movie. So, I think even with what they had, with better editing and maybe a better cut of the film, it might, because there are some parts that really shine. You know, I don't think this is a bad movie. By any means.
I don't think it's bad. I agree with the one comment of, like, the character development. There's a lot of interesting, mm-hmm. subtle character development in here that I think we need to give some more credit towards, like, with Max's character.
Yeah.
Like, I hated... He's not a redeemable character in the beginning, but as you learn more about his relationship...
I think the bitch needs to go to therapy.
He does definitely need to go to therapy. Most men do. And, throwback to the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's a good movie here. Yeah, for sure. And honestly, like, if this is everybody's, like, first trial run at, like, acting, movies, whatnot, Charlie, Harriet, Max, I'm excited to see more of, like, what they might come out of this.
If
they're going to keep pursuing horror movies, I'm excited to see what comes out of it. Because...
I think
as I'm watching them, I think they got strong. They became stronger actors, yes. through the movie process.
Oh, I agree with that too.
And also, like, Brad Rego, writer, director, if this is your first movie, I think, like, this is a good start.
Like, I think he has, like, one other one under his belt, but not.
But
think,
like,
this is.
I'm excited to see more. I'm interested to see what else he might produce.
Absolutely. I think it's also worth noting they started filming in April of 2020 and then had to.
They started filming in April?
Yes.
It would have already been into the pandemic.
Yeah, they
damn,
started in April.
Wow.
So I think am I gonna watch it again? No. If you like creature features, we don't have a ton of like actual creature features that take place in Maine, I think. So
Lake Placid is like, I think, the biggest one.
The biggest one. So if you are really interested in that, I think that it is solid in that way. Some of it is a slog, but I think that if you've got 2 hours to kill, it's worth popping on. And then you can sort of see what we're talking about. And you can disagree or disagree. And you can let us know at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. And you can also, there's also Q&As at the bottom of Spotify. So you could be like, yeah, this was my favorite movie ever. Or no, like, I think that, Let's just do a remake of this and do it outside of the pandemic with a larger budget.
Honestly, I think
everyone's the same, but give this man a larger budget.
I actually think maybe this would like do okay with a remake. Like, I think the bones are here, mm-hmm. and just like give him another stab outside of like pandemic restrictions and all that stuff that's like driving, mm-hmm. bringing him down potentially. And see what you can do. Like, you know, it's like he's running a race with fucking lead weights here, man.
For real. And thank you so much for being here.
You freaks.
You freaks. We love it when you come and listen to us, like, stumble through a movie review.
A bonus up, you know. It's all good. Well, we have a lot of fun on these, and these are kind of like, we know these don't get a huge amount of listens because they're all over the place, but
they're fun.
We have fun with them, and I hope you had fun listening to them as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye. Bye.